Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The text that we consider this morning is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the goal or the purpose of your life? And then what is the goal or the purpose that you have for the lives of your children? The world in which we live has many different goals for their lives and for the lives of their children. And really, to boil it down to one thing, that goal is earthly success. They want their children to have success athletically and physically. They want their children to have academic success, to do well in school, to get good grades, to get into the best colleges. And they want their children to have financial success, to have a good job that makes a lot of money so that they have earthly security. They want them to have a kind of social success. They don't want them to get caught up in drugs and alcohol, but they want them to lead an outwardly successful life, to get along with others, and not be a problem or an embarrassment to them. There are many who don't have really any goal for their life or for their children. They're drifting along aimlessly through this life without any conscious purpose for their life or for the life of their children. It's easy for us as Christian parents to adopt some of those goals and purposes as well. Where we can have as our goal for our children their success earthly. We want them to have athletic success, academic success, financial success, social success. We're concerned about their outward actions because we don't want them to be an embarrassment to us, and we want them to get along with others. It's very easy for us to go along without any conscious goal in mind, drifting along until the day when our children can move out of the house. But that's not right. In order to live our lives faithfully before God, in order to be faithful in the rearing of our children, there has to be a goal or a purpose in mind, and that has to be the proper goal. And the proper goal that we have for our lives and the goal that we're striving towards with our children is the goal of serving God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. Our goal is that we and our children live as God's representatives in the midst of this world, using all of our gifts and abilities to show our love for God and to bring glory to His name. It's put this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The goal that we have for our children is that in this life, they might love God from the heart and strive to bring honor and glory to Him in all that they do. And that's our goal for them in eternity as well. Our desire is that in everlasting life, they might live to the glory of their God. To achieve that goal or that purpose, it's essential that we aim at the hearts of our children. It's one of the things that's emphasized in the book of Proverbs. More than 80 times mention is made of the heart as the father gives instruction to his child, which is what's going on here in the book of Proverbs. Over and over again, he makes mention of the heart. And that's because our Heavenly Father desires that we serve Him from the heart. He's not pleased with mere outward obedience and lip service to Him, but He desires our hearts, that from the heart we love Him and we serve Him. And that means that the heart is our focus as parents in the instruction of our children. Our concern in the end is not first of all for their bodies. In the end, it's not first of all for their minds. But our concern is for their hearts. Call your attention to this text this morning under the theme, guard your heart. Notice first of all the heart, secondly the guarding, and then thirdly the instruction. Command of God to every one of us in the passage as His children is, keep thy heart with all diligence. What is meant by the heart? When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's usually not talking about our physical heart, the one that we feel beating in our chest, the one that's pumping blood throughout all of our body. It's referring to our heart from a spiritual point of view. The heart is our spiritual core. It's the spiritual control center of all of our being. It's the powerhouse that sends forth spiritual life and spiritual direction to every other aspect of who we are. And that means that the heart directs the whole course of our life. As the heart goes, so goes the man or the woman. The direction of our heart directs and guides our words, our actions, our thoughts, and our desires. Which means that our heart is essential. If our heart is spiritually healthy, if it's right with God, then from that heart will flow words and thoughts and actions that are pleasing to God. But if our heart is not right with God, then all of these other things, thoughts and words and actions and desires, will not be in harmony with the Word of our God. They'll be sin. Central place of our heart is something that's taught throughout the Scriptures. A couple of passages we'll mention here. First of all, Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." And then Luke 6, verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And that's the same thing that's taught in our text here. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The word "issues" there could be translated also as springs or well springs. And the figure there is that of a fountain or a spring of water. Think about some mountain spring. Maybe there's water that's stored up deep within the heart of the earth, and that water is brought forth out of this wellspring, this fountain. And it trickles down into many different streams, and maybe those streams converge into a larger river, and that river flows into a bigger body of water, like a lake. But all of that water, all of it that flows, comes from that wellspring, from that fountain. It has its source there. And the same thing is true spiritually. The well or the fountain of our lives is our hearts, and everything else flows out of that. All of our spiritual life flows and trickles down into words and actions and thoughts, but has its source in our hearts. That's described in the context here in a number of different ways. We read in verse 24 of our mouth and our lips. Our mouth, the things that we say to each other and about one another, have their source in the well of our heart. Verse 25 speaks of our eyes and our eyelids. The things that we look at, the desire, are an expression of where our heart is at. And then verses 26 and 27 speaks of the path of our feet, our ways, turning to the right or to the left, and again, our foot. The way that we walk, the direction of our life, the things that we do, those things too are merely an expression where our heart is at. It's essential then that we know our heart. Everything that we see in our lives, the words and the actions and the thoughts and the desires, simply reveal to us our heart. They're a window into where our heart is at that particular moment. We see that in the lives of our children. Think of a few situations that parent or imagine that you have a small little child and mother is taking that child with her to the grocery store, and as they come to the checkout lane, the child sees all of the candy that lines the checkout lane. And the child wants that. He desires that, and he's reaching out for it and begging his mother, "I want that. Give that to me." The mother repeatedly tells the child, no, she's not going to buy that for him. And finally, the child throws a massive temper tantrum because he's not getting his way. And every head in the store seems to be looking at us and our child. What's going on there is more than just an outward temper tantrum. There's a window into the heart of our child there. And what's revealed is covetousness, greed, selfishness. Think of a different situation. You have two children that are maybe down in the basement playing with toys. And all of a sudden you hear both of the children yelling and screaming, and they come pounding up the stairs, and they're both trying to give their side of the story at the same time. And what you hear from the one child is, well, I wanted that toy. It's my turn to play with it. Really, it's mine. Well, his brother or his sister is talking right over him and saying, well, I had it first, and I want it still. What's going on here is much more than just a little squabble over a toy. It's giving us a window into the hearts of both of our children. And what's revealed in both of them is selfishness. Or think of a situation where one of our children is angry with another one and hits that child. What's going on there is a revelation of their heart, and their heart is anger. There's murder. There's pride there. Maybe you have older children, teenage children. Think of a situation where you have a teenage son. That son has a smartphone that he takes with him into his bedroom every night before he goes to bed. At one time, as the parent, you check that phone, which is proper. And what you see is that your son has been viewing pornographic videos or pictures. What's revealed there is the heart of your son. At that time, heart filled with sinful, adulterous lust. Or you have a teenage daughter that spends hours and hours in front of the mirror trying on all different kinds of outfits. She spends hours and hours in front of the mirror putting on makeup and doing her hair just right. Hours and hours on her phone looking at all of the latest fashions and trends of the celebrity. She takes pictures of herself and posts them on social media, and she's constantly checking to see how many people have liked her pictures. Given a window into the heart of your daughter, what you see there is that she's vain. She's materialistic. She lives for the approval of others, and at bottom, what's in her heart is idolatry. And we could multiply the examples of that, but that shows that with all of the actions and all of the struggles that we face with our children at heart, it's a matter of what's going on inside of them. It's a heart issue. And that doesn't surprise us because that's true of every one of us. Now, for an example, husband and a wife that are arguing with each other. Maybe they're arguing about finances. And they both want their own way, and the argument gets heated. What that shows is where the heart is at for both of them. They're angry. They're selfish. They're thinking only of what they want. Or you have a situation in the church where one member sins against another member, says something about them, or gossips behind their back. But that one doesn't go and confess their sin to the one that they've hurt. What that shows is that in their heart is self-righteousness and pride. Or you have a situation where someone is struggling with some great trial in their life. But the way that they handle that trial is in a way of anger towards God. questioning of God and God's goodness and bitterness towards him. And that too is a window into their heart and to the anger and the bitterness that's found there. And again, the examples could be multiplied. What that shows is that in all of our lives, the actions, the thoughts, the words, the desires are simply a revelation of where our heart is at. Because our heart is so central, so important, the calling is to keep our hearts. And the word keep there literally means to guard or to protect something. Just a moment ago we used the illustration regarding our hearts as being a fountain or a spring of water. You think now, if there is a city that is dependent upon that spring or that fountain for their water source, they're going to protect that, they're going to guard that. If anything gets into the fountain or the well, it's going to pollute and defile all of the other water that flows out of it. So they're careful to guard and to protect that wellspring and that fountain so that the water which flows from it is pure and undefiled. The same thing is true for us with regard to our hearts. Because of the central place of our hearts in our lives, it's imperative that we keep, that we guard, that we protect our hearts. In fact, this is the most important thing for us. The passage says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And literally that is, keep thy heart with all of your keeping. Meaning with all of the things that you guard and you protect, make sure that especially you're guarding this thing, guarding your heart. Guard your mouth with the words that you speak. Guard your eyes from looking at that which is sinful. Guard your feet from walking in a way which is disobedient before God. But above all, guard your heart. Keep your heart pure before the Lord. That's so important because of all the enemies that seek to defile and turn away our heart. The devil is interested in our hearts and in the hearts of our children to seek to turn those hearts away from the Lord and to himself. The devil makes use primarily of the lie, trying to make us believe the lie that the way of love for God and obedience to God is really a miserable way. Not something that's attractive. And he tries to make us believe the lie that the way of obedience to him, the way of sin and the way of rebellion against God is really a way of joy and happiness and pleasure. And that's the way then that we should go. The devil is trying to stir up in our hearts all of the sins that we find there, greed and covetousness, bitterness and anger, pride and selfishness and all of the rest. Therefore, we must guard our hearts from the lies and the temptations of the devil. The same is true with regard to the world in which we live. As an ally of the devil, the wicked world is trying to gain access to our hearts and to turn those hearts away from God. So in many different ways. One of the ways that's done here in our own country is with all of the riches and the affluence that we enjoy, a high standard of living. The temptation is for our children to grow up greedy, covetous, materialistic, entitled. One of the ways that the world is pressing home these things upon our children is through technology, through their phones, through social media, through all of the different outlets music and TV shows and movies and the books that are produced, striving for the hearts of us and our children to turn them away from the Lord, to stir up sinful lust and greed and all of the other things. Therefore, we diligently, above all our guarding and keeping, must guard our hearts from the influence and the increasing of the world. But not only are there those threats that are outside of us, there's the enemy that is within our own sinful nature. Every one of us is conceived and born with a totally depraved nature, with a cold, hard, lifeless heart. We read in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then in Proverbs 22, verse 15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And we believe that God has worked in us and in our children a new heart, has replaced that cold, lifeless, stony heart with a heart that's soft, that's fleshy, that's alive. A heart filled with love for our God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We believe that to be true of our children also. As children, in their infancy, ordinarily, that God gives to them that new heart. We know that that isn't always true of all of our children. But the way that we view them, the way that we deal with them, until they show otherwise when they arrive to the years of discretion, is with the judgment of charity. We view them and we deal with them as children of God, the heart that has been made alive by the work of Jesus Christ. But even then, we know that there's still foolishness bound in the hearts of our children. They still have an old man of sin, just as we do. And the foolishness of our children's hearts will show itself. Foolishness, as you know, doesn't mean a lack of knowledge, that we don't know something. Foolishness means we do know something. But we do the opposite of that. We know that the way of sin is not the way of pleasure, but the way of rebellion against God. But foolishness still runs in that way. We know that God is to be served and loved. Yet in foolishness we turn away from the ways of the Lord. There is in our hearts and in the hearts of our children yet much sin. What comes naturally to them is greed and covetousness, pride and selfishness and self-righteousness, and all of the other heart sins. And therefore, it's essential for us and our children to guard our hearts, to come to see more and more the sin that's found in us, and that through prayer to God, "God, search me and know me, try my heart, make me to know the sins that are found there." And then, by the grace of God, to guard them, to protect them, to avoid the temptations of the devil and the world, to do battle against our old man of sin, to put to death the sinful desires and thoughts that arise in our heart. More and more, strive by the grace of God to live out of love for Him and for our neighbor from the heart. Command to us as God's children is, "My son, my daughter, keep thy heart with all diligence." The command that we parents bring to our children is, "My son, my daughter, keep your heart with all diligence." The main way God is pleased to use to give our children the strength to do that. The main way that God uses to teach our children to keep their hearts is the instruction of their parents in the Word of God. And that's something that comes out in a number of different ways here in chapter 4. Verse 4 says, "He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Verses 20 and 21, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." And then the exhortation that comes in our text from the Father to the Son, "Keep thy heart." God is pleased to use the instruction of parents to strengthen their children in the guarding of their hearts. Which means then, as parents, we're constantly to be aiming at the hearts of our children, taking the Word of God and addressing that to not just the outward behavior of our children, but to their hearts. That in our instruction of them, we're aiming at their hearts. In the example that we live out of our hearts because we want our children to live out of their hearts. In our discipline of our children, we're aiming always at the heart. Think again of some of the situations and examples that we used just a moment ago. Situation where you have a little child that's throwing a temper tantrum because he wants candy in the grocery store. It's very easy for us to deal merely with his outward behavior. Shh! Quiet! Stop! Don't do that! You can't have that! You're making everyone look at us now! Stop! We have to do more than that. We have to go beyond the outward behavior and aim at their heart. At the greed, at the covetousness, the selfishness that is evident there. Or the situation where you have two children that are fighting over the same toy. It's not enough for us simply to say, just go work it out on your own. It's not enough for us to say, well, who had it first? As if the person who had it first is always just and always right. We have to aim at the hearts of both of our children and the selfishness that's found there. Situation where you have a teenage son that's viewing pornography and other sinful things on the internet. It's not enough merely to put up the outward boundaries and barriers, to take away his phone or to put up the monitors on the devices. Certainly those things are helpful. But it's not enough merely to do that. We have to speak to our child about the sinful lust that's found in his heart. With our teenage daughter, at times is expressing a materialistic attitude and heart. It's not enough for us simply to say you only have 10 minutes in front of the mirror and you have to limit how much money you're spending on clothes and makeup and the rest. Maybe something like that is necessary, but it can't just be that. We have to aim at her heart. Help her to see the idolatry that's found there. That's hard work. It's not easy. Because it's so difficult, very easy for us to avoid those kinds of things or to be lazy and not take the opportunities that God has given to us. It's very easy for us to be concerned only about the outward behavior of our child. And if we think, well, outwardly they're doing what's right, then we've done all we can as a parent. But the danger in that is that our children become hypocrites. that they learn to do merely what's right only outwardly while their heart is far from the Lord. Even though we ourselves can't touch the heart of our child, we're always aiming at that heart and trying to apply the Word of God to their heart so that they learn, first of all in their heart, a love for God and service to Him that then shows itself in the rest of their life. It's very easy for us as parents, because of the difficulty of that, to not take the opportunities that God gives to us. To view an opportunity when our child is being difficult and sitting and it's chaotic in the home as an inconvenience. We think this situation with my child is taking me away from what I really want to be doing or what's more important, doing the dishes or making supper or something. And what an inconvenience it is to deal with my child again. And it's very easy then to let those situations go, to give a quick reprimand, or simply to say, I'll deal with it later, or it was just a small thing, I'm not going to deal with it now. To miss the opportunity to teach our children about their hearts. It's easy for us, because of the difficulty of this calling, to adopt all kinds of unbiblical methods of rearing our children. To bribe our children. Offer them money, offer them candy, offer them toys, offer them something that they want, if then they'll obey and they'll do what's right. We're forgetting the fact that really what we're doing is we're enabling them in their heart. We're stirring up in them covetousness and greed and so on. We're not helping them. Or to spoil our children. To coddle them. Not to discipline them as we ought. Without thinking that really what we're doing is we're actually enabling them in their heart. We're not addressing the issue that's going on in their heart where we know there's sin found there. This is difficult work. This is what God requires of us as parents. To do the difficult work of teaching our children about their hearts and how to guard their hearts. This means that we view those situations where our child has sinned not as an inconvenience. Not in frustration, but we view this as a God-given opportunity. God has placed this situation in there, not as an act, but as an opportunity for us as parents to teach our children about their hearts so that we grow spiritually in our hearts and our children grow spiritually as well. This requires of us time. It requires of us effort. It requires of us the time to actually sit down with our children and talk to them about issues of the heart, to truly have a heart-to-heart with our child about spiritual things. Hard conversations at times, but necessary. It means taking the time when we discipline them, not merely to administer a spanking or to ground them quickly. There's sin in their hearts that they have to be sorry for and the heart that has to be guarded. Taxing work on the part of God-fearing parents, God blesses that. God blesses that for us spiritually so that we continue to grow. God blesses that in the hearts and in the lives of our children. So we strive by the grace of God to be faithful in that, teaching our children about their hearts. Under the blessing of God, the result will be sons and daughters who have hearts of love for God and streams that flow up that manifest their love for God and their love for their neighbor. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we're thankful for the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Thankful that we have been made alive. Thankful that we know Thee as our Father and love Thee. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt strengthen each one of us to serve Thee, to seek to glorify Thee, and to live out of love for Thee from the heart. Keep us, Father, from merely outward and superficial service to Thee. Work within us in such a way that it's sincere and it's genuine. Father, forgive the sins of our hearts. Forgive our pride, our selfishness, our greed, our spiritual laziness. And continue to strengthen us so that more and more we are conformed to the image of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Work within the hearts of the church as well so that they more and more grow in their love for Thee and in their desire to serve Thee. In Jesus' name alone do we pray. Amen.